Amen. Appreciate the prayer. Desire continued interest in your prayers. Lord willing, I'll finish this message that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks now, and didn't have a lot of time last Sunday to deal with it, and so it's still on our heart, and so we, the subject, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks about, ye are the light of the world, how that we're to let our light shine before men, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Do we believe that? I mean, are we going to obey that scripture and let our light shine? If we are, then we need to know how to do that. There's ways that we live our life in a way that lets that light shine. But let's back up a minute and just very briefly, the way I approached this before, there was a time when God called Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai. Remember that in Scripture? And you'll find it over in Exodus 34. And Moses was there for 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God. Now, we know the Scripture says that no man can look upon my face and live. All right? So it wasn't that they were, as best I can tell, just like when the Lord descended upon the tabernacle and upon the temple, there was a thick cloud, smoke, okay? And so I just, since God himself said, no man can look upon my face and live, then that smoke must also have been there when Moses was on the mount. But it was such a brightness and such a glory that no doubt there was a similitude that Moses was able to see. Because the scripture also says that Moses was one that spoke to God face to face, as a man speaking to his friend face to face. All right, so there was a sense in which he was speaking to God and he was seeing God. But we also know that these eyes of ours cannot behold the complete glory of God and live. That's what God the Father said. All right? But Moses was there, and he was there 40 days and 40 nights. All right? And when he came down from the mount, his face was shining. He had to put a veil over his face, literally. You know, we've been out in the sun sometimes, and we've gotten pink with or red with sunburn. But his face was literally shining. And it disturbed the people that was looking at him, and he had to put a veil over his face. All right? But let's just get a little lesson here from that. What does that tell you? You spend more time in the presence of the Lord, maybe in prayer, reading his word. You know, like I did last time, this is how we stay in the word, you know. Keep your nose in there, all right? Whether you can read it or whether you listen to it, whether you, whatever the case might be, you know, there's people I suspect they can get it from their watch these days, you know. However it is that you can get it, right? In all thy getting, get it. All right, so, but Moses, being in the presence of the Lord, his face was shining. And you know, we can be that way too. You spend time with the Lord, it'll show. All right? So Moses had that experience in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness. All right? So he's the light of the world. And if we follow him, we'll not walk in darkness. Well, what does that mean? Well, what does that say then if we find ourselves walking in darkness? We're not following the Lord. Got mighty quiet in here. All right? So we want to walk in dark. I mean, we want to walk in the light, don't we? And we do that by following him. Well, how do we follow him? Well, we need to read his word. We need to pray. We need to meditate upon that word. We need to seek the leadership of his spirit. Whatever we're trying to do in life, we want to do what's pleasing to the Lord, because if we do what's pleasing to the Lord, it's going to go the best for us. I'm not saying you're not going to have any problems. Not saying you're not going to have bumps in the road. Not saying you're not going to have disappointments. But what I am saying is it's the absolute best place to be following the Lord, because he'll take care of our consequences. Okay? So we can trust that. All right? So when Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. I'm over in Matthew 5 now. When he says, ye are the light of the world. Okay? There's something about God's people. He has given us a light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember creation? He said, let there be light. There was light. Okay? So Paul says to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we are born of his Spirit, he puts a light within us, life. Okay? He gives us life. And in John chapter 1, if you go read that, it talks about when John, by the inspiration of the Spirit, is introducing us to the Lord Jesus as the Word that later he would say was made flesh and dwelt among us. But that Word, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when he gives us light, I'm sorry, when he gives us life, then it's our light that we can see him, and we can see the things of God, and that we can see the world from a perspective of God is over all things, and he watches over us, and he cares for us. See, those that are not born of the Spirit, they don't care anything about God. They don't care anything about godliness. They just want to do what they want to do. Okay? They're walking in darkness. They are darkness, as a matter of fact. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, and ye who were sometimes darkness are made light in the Lord. Okay? When he gives us life, he shines that light into our heart. And he blesses us to know that that light, that the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. All right? So he gives us life. That life is the light of men. And Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. So as we go out into the world, we as God's people are to be letting that light shine. Nobody should have to ask you, are you a Christian? He has blessed us with his word that tells us what Christianity is all about. And by the way, salvation is not in Christianity. It's in the Christ of Christianity. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's where you find the glory of God. When he said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you want the greatest expression of the glory of God, you will find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, Moses in the Old Testament was in the presence of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and his face was glowing. What do you think is going to happen to you spiritually? Maybe not naturally, but spiritually, what do you think would happen to you when you spend more time in the presence of the Lord, in his word? We know that his word was made flesh and dwelt among us, so it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, but he's left us his word for us to read and follow so that we can let our light shine. All right? So just think about in your own mind for a little bit here, a second or two. How much have you let your light shine this week? How much of your light has others been able to see this week? If they watched you over the last week, would they have to ask if you were a Christian? Or was there things that you did that would prove it? You know, I like the expression, I hadn't heard it in a long time, but used to go around and says, you know, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? There ought to be enough, plenty of evidence to convict each one of us that yes, we are a Christian. Because he has loved us so much. He has done so much for us. The least we can do is show our thanks and our appreciation to the one who loved us and gave himself for us to pay for our sin debt, that we could be with him in glory forever. I just believe that that demands daily walk with him, a daily thanksgiving, a daily taking up our cross and following him. Right? Are we on the same page? Good. Then Piney Grove Church ought to be glowing. Right? Glowing. And I mean that spiritually. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're glowing spiritually, there's something about your countenance that those who know what they're looking at can tell it. A pastor can tell those folks that's been in the Word. There's something about your countenance that glows because you've been reminded of the love of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, the grace of God, the everything about him that is so glorious. Everything about our God, even his wrath, is holy wrath. He has every right to use his wrath because he'll use it in the right way. And so the more we're thinking about our God, the more we're reminded of his glory and his goodness and his power, the more we're thinking about the grace that he gave us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the amount of suffering that Jesus did on our behalf, why wouldn't we want to thank him? Why wouldn't we want to praise him every day we live? Every day. All right? So I want to encourage you to think about that. How you're letting your light shine, all right? Now, think about this. Just like the sun, what the sun is to this natural world, what does it do? Well, during the daytime, it brings light, doesn't it? Brings warmth. There's all kinds of benefits and blessings that we receive from the natural sun, okay? Well, what the sun is to this natural world, Jesus is to the moral world. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ gave us life. He gives us love. He gives us help and strength and grace and all that we stand in need of. All right? So when we think about when we receive from him and we reflect it back into the world, that's when we're letting our light shine. And by the way, that's also when he gets the glory. It's only when we reflect it to the world. It's only when we're letting it shine. You know, Jesus told us, no man lighteth a candle and putteth it under a bushel. In other words, these baskets on the table here, if I were to light a candle and then put the basket on top of it, what good is that? If I'm needing the light, what good is that? Well, Jesus kind of went through that, and he also talked about you being salt of the earth. And of the salt, he said, if you've lost your savor, you're good for nothing. And so if you're going to cover up your light, same thing's true. It's good for nothing. All right? So we need to, if we're going to honor the Lord, if we're going to bring glory to his name, then we need to be letting it shine. Okay? Now, what does that look like? I'm big on trying to give you practical ways to, you know, these concepts, they may get into our head, but we may not spend time thinking about just how do I apply that. You know, that's kind of a rule of Bible study that we should follow if when we're reading the Bible, is when if it's got some practical teaching, then we need to be asking ourselves, how do I obey this scripture? How do I do what it says? How do I follow what I'm being told here? Okay? So I want to spend a little bit of time here talking about ways that we let our light shine. How is it that others see that light in us? I want to get some, I can't get real specific, but I want to keep it general to everybody, but specific ways. But first of all, I talked about if we light a candle and put it under, the scripture says, a bushel or a basket, okay? That light's no good to anybody, is it? Doesn't benefit folks. There's another way, and let me get into this quickly so we can get to the specifics here. There's another way that we can hinder our light from shining. Do you remember the parable of the sower and the seed? There was seed that was sown by the wayside. The birds came along, snatched it away. What good is that? There was seed that was sown on stony ground, and it sprang up, and at first it looked good, but then it couldn't put down deep roots. And so when the heat came, it withered away. What good is that? What he's doing here is comparing different ways that people receive the Word of God into their hearts. When we hear it, do we immediately think about something else and it's like the devil snatching it away from us? Or when we hear it, and when persecution, or if we feel a little bit embarrassed, if we try to stand for what's right, if we shy away from it, if the heat causes it to wither, what good is that as far as us letting our light shine before men? Okay? We don't want that either, do we? But then that third case, now we're getting close to some fruit bearing. We're getting closer. But there's a real big one that hinders us from letting our light shine. And he said some of those seed fell among thorns. And Jesus told us exactly what those thorns represented. The cares and the pleasures and the something else of this world. The cares and the pleasures of this world can choke the effect of the light coming back out. It choked the word so that it didn't bring forth fruit. That's what he's saying. And so because of that, the cares and the pleasures and the riches, that's the other one. Cares, the pleasures, and the riches of this world can choke the effect of God's word that we receive coming back out in the way of fruit. So we have to guard against that, don't we? We have to guard. That's not to say you can't enjoy life, you can't enjoy the things that you have. Just make the priority right. Put God first. Put his word first so that it gets in there, so that it comes back out, and then whatever you do will be more blessed. All right? So we got to be careful, because all through the Bible you find instances where God's people got caught up with other things and turned away their focus from the Lord and put too much energy into other things. So the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world can choke the word from coming back in the way of light that brings glory to God. All right? I'm combining a lot of scriptures here, but I think you follow what I'm saying. All right? So what are some of those examples? Well, let's just start with this. Are you bearing spiritual fruit? What kind of fruit is that, preacher? Well, you remember Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, and patience. I think I got them all nine. All right? Are you bearing those kinds of fruit in your life? Love. Are you loving folks the way they should be? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those are the kinds of fruits that God teaches us. That's the kind of life that we're to be living to show, to bear those fruits. All right? So let's get into, sometimes it's easy to bear those fruits. Sometimes it's easy to get along with folks. Sometimes it's easy to love folks. Sometimes they make it hard to love them. Do you bail out or you continue to love them? You know, in the hard times, when it's hard, are you going to continue to love them? Well, let's follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a covenant-keeping God. He chose us. He set his love upon us. And you're his. He is not going to turn away from you. You're going to follow his example. Then you're going to hang in there. You're going to love. You're going to be long-suffering. You're going to be whatever you need to be. I understand things happen and you know, I'm not, but here's the plan. And here's the rule. If we follow the way God loves us, then we will be long-suffering. We'll do what we need to be the kind of person that loves God and loves one another and do what we can for the glory of God. In the good time, remember the marriage vows, it says in the good times and the bad, you know, for better, for worse. We like the better, right? It's not a multiple choice. You know, better or worse, right? And sometimes we have those things, don't we? Right? But the point is, we should be bearing spiritual fruit in the good times and in the hard times. Bear the fruit. That's the way God's love is for us. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. He loves us, period. And he's always going to love us, okay? If he set his love upon us, it's there. It's not conditional upon our obedience. Now, your fellowship with him and your closeness with him is going to be affected by the obedience and disobedience. But his love, just like a parent to a child, that child is theirs. They're always going to be that person's child. All right? So, bearing spiritual fruit. We're to be bearing it when it's easy, and we're to be bearing it when it's hard. Well, preacher, you don't know how hard it is. Maybe I don't. But I know what this word says, and I know what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and he's our example, right? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter's telling us about our Lord and Savior. First Peter 2, verse 23. Who, talking about the Lord Jesus, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. In other words, somebody comes at you angrily and shouting things. How are you going to respond? Well, I'm afraid if we're following the flesh, we're going to respond in kind. But the scriptures teach us to respond in kindness. Right? For Jesus said, when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. We're tempted to threaten somebody that's threatening us, don't we? Okay? If we're going to follow Jesus, and every time you follow Jesus, you're letting your light shine, by the way. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to do what he would do. I like that expression, what would Jesus do? That's good to remember, isn't it? What would Jesus do in my situation? Oh, it's hard. Well, he had a hard situation, didn't he? I mean, his word is worthy of our following his example no matter what we ever face in this life. All right? So he says he threatened not. But here's the key. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus committed himself to the Father. Jesus committed himself to God because he knew He would judge righteously. And guess what? You have that exact same privilege. You can commit yourself to the Lord knowing that He will judge righteously. You just keep doing what you need to do and don't worry about the other person. Okay? All right. So when it's easy, we need to be bearing fruit to the glory of God. When it's hard, we need to be bearing fruit to the glory of God. That's where the light comes from. When we're doing the things that He teaches, we're showing we've got light. We're showing we're following the light. Okay? Let's do Micah 6 and 8. Remember that Old Testament passage? I love that passage. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now that's a day's worth of preaching right there. But listen, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. God has written His laws in the hearts and minds of His people. We got it when we were born of His Spirit. All right? He leads, His Spirit is there to lead us and guide us through this life. All right? Micah said, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require but to do justly. That means to follow this word. Whatever this word says, how we should respond to something, that's the way we should respond. That's the just way for us to respond. Okay? Do justly, love mercy. Ah, here's something. Here's something we need to kind of focus in on for a minute. To love mercy. I love mercy, don't you? I love it when God has mercy upon me. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about you have mercy on others because God has had mercy on you. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. That's altogether different. Yeah, it is. And it's our great opportunity to let our light shine when we show mercy to others. They don't deserve it. Well, that's what grace is all about. Did you deserve the grace of God? Did you deserve the mercy of God? Did you deserve the blessings that God has given you? No, I can answer that. So, to love mercy. And listen, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus kind of touches on that a little bit, a little bit more. The time when Jesus was sat down and there was publicans and sinners that came and ate with Him, and the Pharisees got upset about that. Wow, He's eating with publicans and sinners. All right? Listen to what Jesus said about that. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. All right? The Pharisees were looking upon the publicans and sinners as what Jesus described here as those that are sick. What are you going to do about that? You going to cast them aside? Or are you going to minister to them? Jesus said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. When you look up that word, have mercy, what it means is I will prefer mercy. Isn't that what He did for us? He showed mercy unto us. He reached down where we were. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act and come to Him. We couldn't do that by nature. He reached down to us. He had mercy upon us, and He showed us grace. And we are to do just like He said. He prefers mercy. So, yes, when we love mercy, we love when mercy is shown to us, but how good are we at showing mercy to others? That's where we need to grow, and that's where we can glow. Okay? That's how we can let our light shine. by showing mercy to others. In other words, have you ever had a bad day? Yeah, we have those. You ever been short with somebody? Yeah, I've heard about that too. Have you ever said something you wish you could take it back? You were more focused on yourself than honoring God. So the more we understand that if we're going to be like Jesus, that means when we're in a good mood and a bad mood, because it's going to happen. Just because you're following Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day. All right? But if you're more focused on wanting your life, which means every action that you take throughout the day, if you want those things to honor the Lord and let your light shine, then you've got to be acting like Jesus. You got to be following his word. That's the only way we can let light shine from us. Okay? And so when Micah said, he has showed thee, he said, to love mercy, to do justly, love mercy. Loving mercy in that sense, and also in Matthew chapter 9, preferring mercy means that instead of doing what we would normally do by following the flesh, we're going to pause. We're going to use a filter here. We're going to let God's will come into the picture. We're going to respond in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. And that might mean if somebody's short with us because they're having a bad day, to overlook it. Let it go. Maybe even tell them you'll pray for them. Or at least pray for them. You know, it might not go real well if you tell them you're going to pray for them. But what I'm saying is respond in a way that shows grace to them. Have mercy. Use mercy. That mercy that God has given us. What is it, Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember what God's done for you. And then show that to others. Be forgiving. Be kind. Be merciful. Love to show mercy. That's a big one. We could spend a lot of time working on that. But look at the difference in how much light shines from us when we do that. Instead of following the flesh and maybe responding to somebody in kind, if you respond in kindness, you're letting light shine. The devil's got enough people following him. It shouldn't be us Christians. By the way, you know, atheists are not nearly the enemy to Christianity as lazy and apathetic Christians. Those who claim to be Christians but are not letting their light shine, what does that say? You know, it makes a difference, doesn't it? If we're going to say we're a Christian, and that's what 1 John, I love reading 1 John because right off the bat, he challenges your Christianity. He challenges your commitment. If you say, you know, several times John says, if you say, then do it. If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk.
Amen.
Okay? So when we think about when Micah and then when Jesus taught those Pharisees over in Matthew 9 that we're to go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You can check off the item by just doing, meeting the legal requirement of what God says to do without doing it in the right spirit, without doing it with a forgiving heart or showing mercy. You can do it in that way. But the Lord says, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. He'd rather have somebody showing mercy. He'd rather have somebody doing the spirit of it instead of just checking it off in the letter. Of it. The letter kill it, New Testament says. Spirit maketh alive. there's life and peace and joy and happiness and light that comes from following the Spirit of God. So showing mercy, we need to do that on a regular basis and walking humbly with our God. If we're not merciful to others, if we're not kind and gracious, if we're not letting our light, if we're letting our light shine, if we're not showing our love to God by showing love to one another, how can you say that person's walking humbly? Okay? Because to walk humbly, we want to do God's will instead of ours. We're subjected to His will and not ours. Okay, so there's a lot we could say about that. And we're running out of time again. Don't you want to honor the Lord? Don't you want to be a faithful disciple of the Lord? Jesus taught us, he that would be great in the kingdom of God. Remember him addressing that? Do you remember the rest of it? How it is that we can be great in the kingdom of God? You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do the best, to be the best you can in whatever you're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as we're looking to the Lord, as long as we're humbly serving the Lord, we can strive to be the best that we can be. Okay? But Jesus said, he that would be great in the kingdom of God, let him be your what? Servant. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I want to be great. I don't want to be a servant. But Jesus said, if we would be great in the kingdom of God, let him be your servant. In other words, when we serve one another, that's what's great in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. If we can be a helper to others along life's pathway, if we can be kind and merciful and show them mercy and help them, that's great. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 25, Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You want to serve the Lord? You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Then serve his people. Do whatever you can to be a servant and a blessing to those around you. And then you'll be letting your light shine as you do it. All the way. Letting your light shine. You see, the light's not the physical glowing, is it? The light is what we're doing. It shows up as whatever choice we've made and whatever action we take as to whether we're going to please ourselves or whether we're going to serve the Lord. And so, if we would be great in the kingdom of God, we need to be serving as disciples of Jesus. Because whatever we do to one of his brethren, it's like doing it specifically to him. He takes it personally. So then what does that say when you mistreat one of his brethren? You've mistreated Jesus. Wow. I don't want to mistreat Jesus. Well, we need to be careful how we deal with others then, don't we? All right? So this letting your light shine has a lot to do with our interaction with others, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, they're the ones that can have the opportunity to see the light. They're the ones that can benefit from the light. If it's a warm and loving light, then they'll be blessed by it. If it's a merciful and kind light that you're showing forth, they'll be blessed by it. If you're following the flesh, they ain't going to be blessed by that. You can find that anywhere. That's darkness. And we are supposed to be children of light. And might I say, we need to be children that are full of light. Full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, patience, meekness, faith. Those nine things that he tells us. All right? So what if somebody does mistreat you? So what if you do get short words from somebody, what are you going to do? I'm asking you just to think about it. What are you going to do? You know, maybe it's already your habit to be kind anyway. Thank the Lord. You're letting your light shine. I think we had a brief conversation about this morning in our breakfast. That it's so easy for this old flesh to pop out so quickly, isn't it? It's just so easy for this old flesh to just lash back at somebody. It really is. So we need to be proactive. That's why it's so needful early in the day to get that exposure to the Word of God, to set our mind and our soul in frame. It's good to have our prayers early in the day. You know, it's kind of like those of you that play in a band or an orchestra, you know. When do you tune up your instrument? Before you perform. Not after. Before you perform. Well, we're instruments of God. We're supposed to be witnesses of His goodness and glory. We're supposed to be showing the world what we need to be and following Jesus. And so we need to tune up these instruments early in the day so that we can perform well throughout the day. So we can put down the feelings of the flesh. So that we can have our mind renewed, so that we can be mindful of it's important how we respond to people. Your kindness may be the only kindness they see all day. What an opportunity you have to let your light shine before men. You know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to see your light shining here. But he's saying out there in the world. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify you. No, that's not what we're after. It's not what we're after. Glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Because if it wasn't for His mercy and His grace, that would be us out there being unholy and unkind and ungodly. That would be us. We wouldn't be here. We'd be out there in the world. Okay, but because God has shown us His mercy and kindness and His grace, that we want to honor Him and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. So, like 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us, we walk by faith, not by sight. There's times when you need to be kind to somebody and you don't know why. Or you don't know what the outcome will be. But just trust God. Walk by faith. Do what He said. Do what His word says. Be kind. Be merciful. Love mercy. Love to show mercy. Walking by faith. That means to be mindful of whatever we're doing, so that we can let our light shine in whatever the circumstance might be. Whether it's easy, you know, when life is easy, sometimes that's when we experience the most peril, isn't it? We kind of let our guard down. We tend to forget some things. But bless your hearts, when life is easy, praise God. Bear fruit. Let your light shine. When life is hard, praise God. Bear fruit. Let your light shine. You see the pattern? No matter what we face, our circumstances should not dictate how much we love God, trust God, and want to honor God.
Amen.
And it can be shown. It can be seen. And so may God help us in all the things that we do to let our light shine. What He's given us. And you know what? We all need to increase that light. We all need to have our mind focused upon the Word of God, get it in any way we can, so that we can be more, have more of the mind of Christ, so that our example to others can be more like him. Isn't that what we want to be? If any man will come after me, if any man will be like me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And all the while, letting your light shine to the glory of God. Now you can take this, I've just covered a few specifics, but you can take this into every avenue of life, whatever we're facing, and use this pattern. Well, be a light bearer. You know, let that light shine no matter what we're going through in life. You never know how much encouragement you can be to someone else. May God bless you is our prayer.